All right, how are we doing this morning? Muted. It's a little muted. We're a little muted this morning. It's fine. I'm Christian. If I haven't gotten a chance to meet you yet, I'm on part of the staff team here at NLCF. And yeah, are you guys excited for this game that's happening tonight? Again, not really, right? No, I'm just kidding. How many Patriots supporters do we have out there? Okay, there's three. How many people want the Rams to win? Yes, all right. How many people just want football season to be over so that baseball can come? All right? Thank you. That's where I'm at too. This is my favorite day of the year. Football season ends. So today we're going to talk about, we're going to continue the series, Bad Ideas About God. This is our third week, and the first week Robbie talked about this bad idea that God is primarily concerned with my happiness. And then last week Jim talked about the bad idea that a good and powerful God wouldn't allow evil to happen. And so today we're going to talk about, like, that's the problem of evil, right? Like, that's kind of complicated and tricky. We're going to talk about something much more straightforward today. We're going to talk about the infinite mystery of God's will for your life, right? We're going to be able to handle that totally within 30 minutes. So let me pray for us and we will jump right in. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the chance to gather in your presence, to encounter you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would accomplish your purposes, that you would speak to us, you'd fill us up, that you would challenge us, you would call us deeper. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last 2 weeks, Jim and Robbie, they both quoted this philosopher, John Locke, right? And so I was feeling a little bit self-conscious and like I need to flex my intellectual muscles a little bit. So I've got a quote about God's plan. This is from a modern-day philosopher, Drake. And he wrote this. God's plan. I can't do this on my own. Someone watching this stuff close. Yep, close. I mean, I feel like that sums it up, right? Like, I could sit down. My man can preach, right? No, the idea that we're going to be talking about today is that God has one specific plan for my life, and I have to find it, okay? That's what we're going to be talking about. And I know this series is called Bad Ideas About God, but this might not actually be that bad of an idea about God. I mean, we might nitpick about a word or two within this statement, but really, this isn't that bad of an idea. Where we begin to run into bad ideas is as we look at this statement and sort of peel back the layers into how are we understanding what this means? What does God's plan for my life actually entail? And how do I go about discerning that and seeking that and knowing that? That's where we run into quite a lot of bad ideas. And so the first question that we must answer with this is, does God have a plan for your life? Does God have a plan for your life? And the answer is unequivocally yes. No question. Very clear, God has a plan for your life. We go to this verse in Jeremiah 29 whenever we're kind of approaching a big decision and we're trying to trust the Lord, right? We love this promise that we have in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. This was a promise that God gave to Israel through Jeremiah, but this is true for us too, right? And even just those words themselves fill us with hope and excitement. God has a plan for our lives. It is a plan for our welfare, a plan for our good. He has a plan for your life, but that plan probably looks a little bit different than we think it does. I want us to imagine, okay, so God has a plan for my life, and in order to kind of, you know, for record-keeping purposes, he's written each one of those plans out, and he keeps them in a file somewhere, probably on his desktop, right, where all files go. And so he's written this out very clearly, right? And this is something that he could send to us. Obviously, this is not how it works, but he could send this plan to us. I think if we opened up that document, we would be pretty surprised by what is included in that plan. And I don't mean like we'd be surprised because God's going to call us to some really weird stuff. Like right now, I'm kind of into theater, but actually the Lord's calling me to go to the moon or something. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kinds of things that God would include in that plan are probably different. There's at least some things that are different than what we're expecting. When we talk about what God's plan entails, there's kind of two main ways that we tend to understand that. There's more we could go into, but these are pretty common understandings of God's plan, okay? I want to try and pick these apart a little bit and show you the way that they work. So the first way that we typically think about what God's plan has in it, what God's plan for my life contains, is we think God has a specific direction for me with everything I do. Every decision I make, God has a specific direction for my life. Now, normally, if we're honest, we're not super concerned about what God's plan is for, like, Tuesday, right? We're talking about, like, does God want me to marry this person? Does God want me to take this job or that job? Does God want me to live in this city or that city? We're talking about these huge life-altering things, not necessarily the day-to-day stuff. And maybe that in and of itself is a bad idea. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we're talking about these major life decisions. God has a specific plan. And so what I want to do is try and show you what that plan might look like. This is what we're expecting. If we hold this approach, this is what we're expecting this document to look like, okay? So this is God's good plan for Christian Hurl, right? I mean, this is assuming that I followed it perfectly. I'm not sure that's true. But anyway, this is it, all right? So 1991, God's will was for me to be born. I mean, what a day, right? 1991. 2001 is the year that God wants Christian Hurl to meet his future wife, this little redhead girl who's playing baseball with the boys instead of softball, because she's just that much better than everyone else. We got 2009. God wants Christian to go to Virginia Tech, and his first Sunday, he wants Christian to come into this room and be a part of NLCF. 2010, God wants Christian to start dating his future wife. 2013, they get married. We got married in 2015. 2013, God wants Christian to go on staff with NLCF. We'll see. 2015, now he wants you to get married. I was getting the signals wrong. That's all it was. Right? So obviously there's more we could talk about, but this is kind of what we're expecting, right? We're expecting that each sort of pivotal moment in our lives is planned out by God, and he has a direction that he wants us to go. And so obviously we don't have this document, and so what we have to do is then we have to ask God, okay, I'm approaching this big decision. God, what do you want me to do? So let's just kind of play that out a little bit. So let's say it's the year 2010, and Christian is trying to decide, should he date Meg? Okay? This is not how this played out, to be totally honest, but this is, we're just going to pretend a little bit, right? So, okay, so I'm trying to figure this out, and so I go to God and I say, God, I there's this girl and I really like her, and should I don't know, do you want me to date her or not? And I'm going to wait for you to speak, okay? I want to know your will. And then I would wait. And maybe I'd read a little bit of scripture and see if there's something that might speak there. And then I pray some more, and I wait, and I pray some more, and I wait. And I maybe start getting a little bit nervous because I'm like, well, crap, what if I miss it? How's God even going to say this? How is he going to say that Meg is this person that I want you to date? And so I probably need to fast, right? So I'm going to fast. God, look, I am serious. I'm fasting for one meal here, and I need to know what you want. Can you please just tell me, make it clear, right? And we pray, and we wait, and we pray, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And nothing happens. We don't hear that clear voice from God, and so there's no movement. Christian can't start dating Meg because he's not clearly heard from God, "This is what I want you to do." All this time, there's this girl out here who he loves, who he enjoys being around, who's funny, who's godly, who's pursuing the Lord, and his friends like, and it pulls good things out of him as they walk together. But he can't do it because he can't step outside of God's will, and he's just not sure. He's afraid, right? What this approach to God's plan does for us is it kind of takes us to a place that we might call pious paralysis. Pious paralysis. So it's pious because we want to know God's plan. Like, we really want to do what he wants us to do, but we are paralyzed until we hear, "Yes, this is what I want you to do. Take this step. Do this thing," right? That's the kind of the first approach that we tend to take with God's plan and the way we tend to think about what would be on that document, okay? There's a second way. The second way is what we might call the go with the flow approach, okay? Go with the flow approach. Basically, this approach says, whatever happens to me is God's will for me, okay? So this approach says, yes, God has a will for my life, but it's really difficult to understand. It's not. There's no real point in trying to figure it out and be proactive with that. It's hard to understand. This is what it might look like. Maybe. Right? There's stuff. I'm not even sure what font that is, honestly. There's stuff there. Like, it's clear that God's planned this stuff out, but there's no way we can understand it. And so what that means is all we need to do is try and stay on the front of it. We need to be watching what's happening in my life. And then when we see a door open, that means that's God's will. And when we see a door close, that means it's not God's will that I step into that. So if I get that internship, it's God's will that I take it. If I have the chance to do research with one of my professors, it's God's will that I do that. If someone I like turns me down for a date, well, then it wasn't God's will. He closed that door, right? And what we have to recognize about this is that this is kind of the Christian version of what many people in our culture, the way they approach decision-making, right? You know, there's a general belief that, yeah, there's probably something out there in the world that kind of makes things happen in my life and in the universe broadly. Maybe it's God, maybe it's fate. Maybe it's just the universe itself. But my job is to follow along. When I see a door open, I go for it. I get good vibes and good things happen in my life, right? That's the kind of way that many in our culture think. And so what we've done is basically take that approach and slap Romans 8:28 on it, right? We've said, God works for the good of all who love him. So let's just try and follow along. We don't need to know. He's going to make it work, right? If he opens the door, that means we should step through. If he closes the door, well, it wasn't God's will, right? These are both bad ideas about God's will, about God's plan for our lives. What these approaches forget is who the author of this plan is. These approaches forget that the author is not our boss. The author is not some unknowable force. The author of this plan is our Father, right? Our Father who loves us. Our Father who wants our good. Our Father who wants us to have abundant life, as Jesus talks about in John 7. And that abundant life doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to go perfectly, that nothing's ever going to be hard. In fact, Jesus promises that it won't, but that it will be good, it will be abundant. This is our Father who also happens to be our Creator, right? And so he knows what makes us tick. He knows what the abundant good life looks like. And he knows that the way that we enter into that is as we walk with him, as we know him deeply, and as we allow him to shape us to be more like Jesus, right? This is what God's plan is aiming us toward. God's plan for your life is aiming us towards this. And so what that means is sometimes as we're interacting with that, he will say, this is what I would have you do. I want you to take this specific job. I want you to move to this specific neighborhood because he knows that that will be good, right? But oftentimes, he's pleased for us to take this path or this path, this job or that job, this major or that major. Because he knows that along those paths, there's every chance for us to walk in abundant life with him, for us to walk with him, know him, and have him shape us into the likeness of Jesus so that he's able to use us as he always intended to. This is really important for us to get. What we have to know about our God is that he's not a father who sits in his lazy boy and barks orders at his kids, right? This is a father who comes to us and takes our hand and walks with us through every moment and every season of life. Our Father has authored this plan for your life. And the thing that this plan is centered around is moving you into this abundant life. Again, not necessarily easy, enjoyable, comfortable, but good, right? And he knows that that happens as we walk with him and as we become more like Jesus. So that means that the document looks different. The kinds of things that are on the document look a little bit different. I want to show you kind of maybe what this might look like in my life, okay? So you look up here, there's actually a second slide as well. You're going to see some things that are specific, right? But you're also going to see some things that are kind of general, kind of broad. This is not a document that is designed to help you make every decision perfectly. What it's designed to do is help you walk closely with him and help you become more like Jesus, right? So this is the way that it works. Let's kind of work our way through it a little bit here. So first thing, God's plan for me is that I would ask him to adopt me into his family, right? This is the top bullet point on everybody's plan from God, right? This is 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? This is where this beginning of walking with him, this is it. This is the foundation, right? We keep going. Love the Lord, walk with him, interact with him, read the scriptures, pray, grow closer to him. And then love people, right? We see that in Matthew 22. Love God and love people. Serve them. Care for them. God's plan is that we would seek first his kingdom. Seek first the things of his kingdom rather than whatever we need or whatever we want. But that we would go after the things that he's doing in our world. It's his plan that we would ask for what we need. It's his plan that we would make disciples of all nations, right? And here's where we get a specific on my plan, right? Christians should serve at NLCF and make disciples there. This is one of the only times, I mean, I'm talking a small handful of times in my life that God has specifically said, I've come to him with a decision and he has specifically said, Christian, I want you to do this thing, okay? It's not that common. It's not that he doesn't care, it's just that he's walking with us in this, right? And so for me, he didn't tell me where to come to school. He didn't tell me whether I should rent a house or buy a house. He didn't tell me that I should marry Meg. He said to both of us, hey, you guys, you choose. How you conduct yourselves within this marriage is what I'm focused on here, but you choose. There's freedom here. And we chose to do life with one another, right? His plan for us is to work for justice. This might be another place where you could have a specific direction here. If there is maybe an injustice in our world that grips you specifically, maybe it's trafficking or poverty or racism, something like that. This grips you. This might be a place where God says, this is a place that I want you to really focus your attention. It's God's will. It's God's plan that we would use our gifts 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 talks about this. And here's another place where we get a specific, right? God says, I'm gifting Christian as an apostle, which means he needs to help people see the big picture of what I'm doing and call them to walk into deeper and deeper things with him. Now, obviously, this is in no way all-encompassing of everything that's in God's plan for us, right? But what we can say is that my plan, the plan that God has written, this document that he's written for me, it's not really that different from what happens for you. In fact, Ian, can we go back to the slide before that? I would encourage you to pull out your phone and take a picture of this. Not necessarily because, like, you need to know that Christian should be at NLCF, but because of the scripture. These are some things that God has put in his plan. Take a picture of this. We know that our plans are going to look slightly different based on our personality, based on our gifts, based on these specific steps that God might call us to take. But in general, it's kind of the same. This is the plan that we get in the scriptures. And again, it's not going to tell us what choice to make in every circumstance. But it will tell you how to walk with the Lord, how to know him deeply, how to follow after Jesus, right? We can go to the next one. Ian, yeah, you can take a picture of that if you want. So because God's plan looks more like this than it does like those documents we talked about earlier, it changes the way that we should approach him revealing that plan to us, right? We certainly should still seek. We certainly should still ask God, what do you have for me? If we keep reading in Jeremiah 29, right after verse 11 and verse 12 and 13, he says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. God's like, yeah, call, like ask. I want to walk with you in this. I'm here to guide you. And as we seek his plan, his will for our lives, he may say, here's something specific. Here's something I'd like you to step into. I want you to take that job. I want you to move to that city. But he may also just walk with you and guide you as you're making decisions, as you're walking through your everyday lives, right? Maybe you're wondering, should I date this person? And God might not say yes or no. He might say, well, are you in a place where you're able to love this person as yourself, or able to serve them well, elevate their needs above your own? Maybe he would say, is this a person that spurs you on, that helps you walk more closely with me? He may not give a specific command or direction. He may just want to walk with you and help guide your thinking and guide your heart. What we have to know is as we're seeking God's will, we are not seeking just an answer. It's a chance for us to be with our Father. That's why he doesn't give us the document, right? Because that would take away any sort of relationship. And he knows that abundant life is found in the relationship. So even this seeking itself is part of his plan, part of his provision for us. If we want to know God's will, he's going to reveal that in the context of our relationship with him, as we walk with him. So, what does this practically look like? We get that there's not always specific, but how do we actually go about seeking God's plan for our lives, seeking his direction as we're making decisions, right? What does that look like? There's three things that God primarily uses to show us his will, show us his plan for our lives. And these three things he kind of uses in concert with one another, okay? The first thing that God uses, he shows us his will in the scriptures, right? He shows us his will in his word. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is the scriptures are showing us, illuminating the path before us, right? This is the foundation. This is where we begin as we seek to know God's will and plan for our lives. Because in the scriptures, in his word, we see his revelation of who he is and what he desires for us. So maybe you're wondering, does God want me to take this job? And as you're reading the scriptures, what you might think is, well, is there anything in this job that's going to kind of push me closer, help me walk in this plan that God has given me, maybe to love and serve people well, to take care of the people around me? On the other side of it, are there things in this job that I'm going to have to do that God has clearly stated in the scriptures, this is not within my will for you? Am I going to have to exploit someone? Am I going to have some sort of dishonest gain or something like that, right? We look at the scriptures, and they might not tell us specifically, this is it, right? Take this job. But they will eliminate a whole host of things that are not within God's will, right? This is where we begin. They're the foundation for our understanding of God's will, okay? So we have the scriptures. Secondly, we should ask them. We should just ask them. I mean, that seems pretty straightforward, right? We should pray. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So we ask him, right? We come into his presence and we submit ourselves to him. We say, God, we want what you want for us. We want what you want for us. We tell him about what we're thinking, what we're feeling as we're trying to make this decision. We just talk to him about it. And then we listen. Maybe even just spend some time sitting quietly with him. This is our God, our Father. He's a speaking God. All throughout the course of history, what God is, one of the things he's been known for is his desire to speak to us. And so he will respond, right? And often, he even does that through our own thoughts, whether it's in those quiet moments or even as we're just walking through our normal days, right? We might call this the still small voice of God. And so often it seems like he doesn't speak in the ways that we tend to hope that he will, this booming voice down or maybe a burning bush or something like that. And it seems like part of the reason that he might not do that is because if he speaks with this still small voice, we have to be close. And so this voice, even in itself, beckons us closer, draws us into this abundant life. And so with this still small voice, maybe a thought pops into your mind. Maybe it's just a feeling. As you're kind of just walking through your day or as you're listening on a specific decision, it's just maybe a thought or a feeling. Have you thought about this? What if you did this? Maybe this isn't good for you. Here's why. Now this takes some practice and testing. Like, we're not just going to, whatever thought pops into our minds, that was probably God, right? That's dangerous. That's dangerous stuff. But God speaks that way. And so as we're thinking about this, as we're listening, we may hear things. And it may be that that's, God tells you something that is in some way contradictory to the scriptures, right? And then that we could say, that's probably not from God. He's not going to contradict himself. Okay? We line it up with the scriptures, and we start to see how these things work in concert with one another. But as we ask, and as we listen, and as we draw near and walk more and more closely with him, he speaks. He gives us direction. At times, he gives us specific steps, and it gets easier to hear. We know his voice more. We know his will for our lives more. Okay, so we have the scriptures. We have prayer in this still small voice of God. Lastly, God speaks through the wise counsel of others. God speaks through the wise counsel of others. This is really important. So even if we feel like, you know, I've looked in the scriptures with what God might say, what in there might speak to this decision I'm trying to make, and it seems like he's given me some sort of indication. As I've been praying to him, he's given me some guidance or whatever. This is important. We still need to bring other people into it. And this can be an intimidating step, right? We're trusting others with our decisions in some way. And that's kind of scary. But so often the Lord speaks through other people, right? Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." We need to seek input from the wise voices in our lives. We all have these people. We could even begin with our parents. Even if you have a difficult relationship with a parent or both of your parents still have wisdom that you lack. They still see you in ways that you don't fully see yourself, right? They're a good place to start. We can talk with people like your engaged group leaders, talk with people on staff, people who you trust from home, people, whatever. We're looking for wise voices here, though. We're not looking for just whoever's easiest, whoever's most convenient. We're looking for wise voices, okay? But as we do this, God speaks. We want to go to these people and ask these people, God, God has kind of put this before me. What do you think? What do you see in this decision? Is there wisdom that you would share with me? We may even ask them, would you be willing to seek the Lord on my behalf and see if there are things that he might say to you for me? So these three things, the scriptures, our prayer, this conversational prayer, and the wise counsel of others, God works these things together so that we can hear his voice, so that he can reveal his plan to us day by day. This is not a one-time download, but this happens continuously. As we seek him, he speaks, right? He reveals his will for us. And if we err, if we disobey, if we step into sin rather than stepping into what he has for us, it's not like he casts us aside and says, well, I had a nice plan for you, but look what you did, right? It's not what he's like. He still desires to walk with you, to hold your hand, to guide you. He still seeks your good. If you are kind of wanting to dig more deeply into this and wanting to get better at hearing God's voice and understanding the things that he might say to you, I'd encourage you to check out this book. It's Hearing God by Dallas Willard. And he talks a lot about God's voice, how God speaks. He talks about this conversational relationship that we can have with God. It's very helpful. Also, we've been talking about this, but coming up 2 weeks from today, we're going to be doing, during this time, a Q&A. And so we want to answer as many questions as we can that you guys have from what we've talked about with these bad ideas, right? So if there's something that came up today, you think, okay, I get kind of God's will, but what about this thing? I'm not sure if I understand this, or how would I interact with God in this way? Text it to this number. I think it's 540-200-8132. 540-200-8132. I'd say, like, even you could do it now. Like, I'm cool with that. But this is something that we kind of want to just be able to answer as many of your questions as we can. As we close, I want to just encourage you, whether you're in this place where there's a big decision on the horizon for you, or you're just kind of walking through normal life right now, I want to encourage you, draw near to the Lord. Immerse yourself in the scriptures. Commit yourself to prayer and learn to grow deeper in it. Come to one of our communal prayer times and we can walk through some of that together. Take time to just sit with him and listen. Again, regardless of whether you're making a decision or you're just kind of going through your life, sit with him and listen. Ask him if there are things that he wants to say to you. As we draw near to him, our Father meets us and he welcomes us in. He fills us up. He breathes his will into us, his plan for our lives. He walks with us into this abundant life. Your Father's will for you is that you would be near to him. His plan is that you would become more like Jesus, that you would follow in his way. And it is a good plan. Let's walk in it. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. There is a lot of things that you make pretty clear that you desire for us there. God, you guide us. And you speak to us. You're a speaking God, and we thank you for that. That we're not left guessing, well, I don't know, did God say this or that? God, you want to lead us. You want to have us step into the abundant life. We pray, Holy Spirit, that we would know your voice more, that we would listen for your voice more. We would allow you to lead us into the specifics and to guide us day by day. We trust you, Lord. Amen.